The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia. This is episode 244 of the Colombia Calling podcast. And if you can hear some interference in the background, it's because we're on the line to a very special guest who's in Amsterdam. That's right. That's the Netherlands, Holland. And she runs a foundation called Fair Trade Coke. So that's about the coca plant. And that's why we've been, in a rush to get her on the line. Her name is Janneke Niemeyer, and some of you might recognize that surname, Niemeyer, as being the same surname as that of the famous or infamous FARC, Dutch FARC lady, Tanya Niemeyer. I have to say straight up and right now that they are not related. They have not been in contact. So if you're thinking I've got a scoop on that side of things, it's not going to happen. But I'm talking to Janneke here on the line, and we're going to talk about her foundation, Fair Trade Coke. So she's in a coffee house in Amsterdam. That's why we've got a little bit of interference. But at the same time, it's going to be a fascinating conversation. Janneke, welcome on Columbia Calling.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
No, it's a great pleasure. Now, I saw your tweets on the social media. Tell us about Fair Trade Coke. How this foundation came about.
Well, it started officially 2 years ago, but it had already some activities before. It was during a time when there was more attention for fair trade products like fair trade coffee and slow fashion and slave-free chocolate. And it was during my studies, I studied anthropology, and at the time, or it still is, people use drugs. It's quite normal when you go out and that people use drugs in the Netherlands, or depends a bit on the age, mm-hmm. And the place. So I thought how fair trade is the drugs we consume. And of course there is a lot of violence and corruption involved. So I thought of informing about the damaging consequences of the cocaine trade, and I wanted to look for solutions, constructive solutions, to tackle the corruption and the violence.
Wow. So how many of you are there in this foundation?
Three.
There are three of you.
No, it's only me.
Oh, it's just you. So it's a one-woman enterprise to inform the world. I've seen the website, and okay, so you're a foundation looking for constructive and sustainable alternatives for the world war on drugs. How are we going to go about this? How are we going to get this to happen? It's a hard one because...
Of course, It's difficult because it's a global problem. So, like, for example, if the Netherlands decides to control the cocaine production or the consumption, with my foundation, I'm talking about the production chain. So if the Netherlands decides to control the production chain, it cannot decide by itself. So you have to involve global relations in it. So that's the difficult part of it. So we should start by informing the people and involving consumers and policymakers or like the history of the war on drugs and like the integrity of the aims of the war on drugs. So I think informed about the true reasons behind the war on drugs. But it's also to involve the people in looking for the constructive solutions for it. And because in the beginning it was my first aim was like consumers are mainly living in like the West, Western countries, or America and Western Europe, but the problems are mainly in South America. So I thought this disbalance is it's not fair because we in Western countries kind of. Yeah, we demand for a product which is illegal, and why we impose the problems on South American countries. So therefore, I think it's important to involve Western countries in this problem. And that was my first aim. And now, as I start to develop more knowledge about it, I get more critical on the intentions of the war on drugs, and I think also the coca leaf is a very important topic in this because the coca leaf is a very innocent plant. And also has a lot of possibilities outside of cocaine. But as the United Nations made it illegal, the possibilities outside cocaine are suppressed. And we have a very big stigma about the coca plant, which is morally not fair to the people in South America from Indian countries. And economically, it's also a problem because as it has a lot of possibilities, this is because it's illegal, it's not possible to open up other opportunities for the company, which eliminates a possibility or a chance for farmers in South American countries to export coca products.
This is true. Spoken like a true anthropologist. So I asked you that Holland is the Netherlands is a pretty liberal liberal country that we all know about the cafes and the prostitution. Do you think there'll be a legalization of cocaine in Holland at some point?
I don't know. At this moment, we don't have such a liberal government. We still profit from this image that we are liberal. But I don't know, with this government, if people talk about legalizing cocaine, because it's also, yeah, like my issue is like, can we talk about legalizing the production of cocaine as well? And as the consumption is not legal at this moment, I think it is harder to talk about legalizing the production of this. So I don't know if Netherlands would be the first country. I think that's a difficulty. I think at this moment we are talking a lot about violence and corruption, as there is some are some criminal activities in Amsterdam as well. But I do think by legalizing it, you get more control of the money that is involved and about the crime that is involved, because there goes a lot of money in controlling the the criminals, or catching the criminals, or so if you legalize it, you have more, a better overview of the money that is involved. So, but I think it is first important to to know what the war on drugs is really about. If it's really about protecting our citizens or from drugs, or is it about controlling a continent? If you're consumers in the United States, for example, then you shouldn't have consumers as criminals, but as people with health problems. And you shouldn't privatize prisons, but as in the United States, the prisons is quite a big economy as well. So there are a lot of things involved that makes me question the integrity of the war on drugs. Is it about getting other resources, I read that war on drugs is a Trojan horse to control South American countries. So I can imagine
that. It's interesting because it gives rise to so many different issues. And you know, I like you saying that, you know, these people or addicts or consumers should be treated as, you know, medical issues, as an illness. I believe that firmly as well. But of course, here in Colombia, the situation, you know, Colombia, you've been to Colombia, the situation is very, very different, you know, to people in London, in Amsterdam, in New York, you know, maybe a bit of cocaine for their their enjoyment of a weekend. I do not consume cocaine. I'll tell you straight up, I've never consumed cocaine. I live in Colombia, but it's so difficult here. And right now we're in a fascinating, if not troubling, moment in Colombia where the peace accord, a very good peace accord, is stumbling forwards because we don't really know what's happening in the countryside. The government didn't move into the coca growing areas to start to control them. Coca growing has boomed. The government will approve again the use of the glyphosate to fumigate these coca fields at the great environmental detriment and so on and so forth. But of course, the coca plant is the only economically viable plant in these regions for these poor farmers. The only people who are going to get out there to ensure that these farmers sell a crop, which is not cacao, it's coca, because the cacao market for chocolate has collapsed. And the government keeps talking about substitute crops, but they don't do enough to substitute the crops and to sustain these poor campesino families. I just see it being so difficult. So we are producing more coca and then coca paste for exportation than the mafias in Colombia know what to do with. You know, that's why when they found those all those tons and tons and tons of cocaine ready for shipment up in northern Colombia, you wonder, the war on drugs has not worked. It is not working. It's not going to work. There has to be a different dialogue. So that's why I was happy to find your website.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Because indeed, the cocaine isn't getting less. It's moving to other places where it's not being oppressed. So, like, it causes this ecological damage, and so. It's really time to rethink the policy and rethink why this is not working, and rethink constructive alternatives. And it's problematic that the cocaine is not decreasing, and we still keep continuing this perspective.
I have a question for you, Janica. I have a question for you. With your website, have you received any like hate mail or trolls?
Not hate mails. Only orders for cocaine, for like fair trade cocaine. So, no, hate
meals. Orders for fair trade cocaine, and are you able to supply it?
I don't have... It's impossible if it's illegal to check if the production chain is going fair. That's...
Okay. I have another question for you, and as well on this one. You go out on of a weekend in Amsterdam, and do you see a lot of people consuming cocaine?
Lately, I'm pretty green, so I don't go out that much. So I'm now in my 30s. In my 20s, I did go out, and then it was used.
Of course, but that's the thing. I think there's a change. You were in Colombia recently. I think there's a change taking place in Colombia where Colombia is a production and transportation country, but I think that there is an increase in consumption now in Colombia as well.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, it is, I can understand, because everywhere where there is transport of cocaine, the consumption increases. So also in West Africa, which is an important distribution center to Europe, the consumption also increases, which is very problematic, because they don't have the money to help addictions that's really bad. And also in the Netherlands, you have these little harbors, which are really small villages, and there it's also a port for accepting cocaine with the little boats. So there, the consumption also increases. So it's really understandable that the consumption increases in Colombia as well. And Yeah.
Well, when you were in Colombia, I know it was only a few weeks ago. Did you do some more research?
No, it was just at this moment it was just a visit.
Okay.
1 year ago, I was there for longer. I was for 6 months in Bolivia to study the coca policy there because they control the coca cultivation, and I thought this was an interesting policy. They reclaimed the indigenous rights to grow coca. And I wanted to know how the practice it was, how it worked out. So I think like the vision of the policy is really good, like opening up the possibilities of coca other than cocaine, like making tea or making cookies or flour. But the problem is it cannot be exported because it's illegal. And in Bolivia, they only chew on coca and they don't drink coca tea or they don't consume the other products from coca. So there's not really a demand for industrializing the coca products. And unfortunately, there's corruption involved in Bolivia, which doesn't get the outcome as I would wish for Bolivia. But I think it would be a nice change for the world to open up the export for coca products and. Like destigmatize coca from the image we have that you can only make cocaine out of it, but it has a lot of other possibilities. It's a really healthy plant and a good medicine, and I think it would benefit the world to also consume coca.
It's a sacred plant that has been its use has been manipulated to what we know it as in Europe and the and North America. I just think with our current government in Colombia and the current government in the North America, we're not going to see any major policy changes in the next at least 4 years.
No, I don't think so either. But I think it is good to keep continuing to keep informing the people about. I think we can. If we make ourselves stupid, then we let these governments go their way, or they have a free path to do their thing. But I think it's important to keep people informed and see, also we still thrive on a colonial policy or a neoliberal policy. And I think we should keep people informed about the origins of this policy and the consequences out of it and not... to keep more sanity to this issue instead of reacting too emotional about it, like drugs is bad. It is allowed to have a war on drugs because drugs is bad. And I think that's an emotional response, and I think we should therefore keep. Being rational about it and looking for constructive solutions for our alternatives. I don't think a solution will never be there, like as a solution that is going to be good for everybody. But I think. At this moment, by criminalizing it or by making it illegal, you put the power in in people with guns, and you support the weapon industry, you support an industry that makes chemicals. So, so I think you should look at it more rationally than emotionally towards drugs is bad.
Yeah.
That's why we can make a war about it.
You said the chemical industry, and that's very interesting because it brings up a thing I went to a laboratory once in the jungle where they were refining, you know, making cocaine paste, and the stuff they would put into it, sulfuric acid and other things, that's not meant to go into your body. You know, that's not meant to go. But
not really organic.
No. So I'm just curious. Okay, so you know, we're winding this down. I love the fact I'm sitting here drinking coffee at the beginning of the day in Colombia. You're sitting there sipping white wine in Amsterdam. What's next for Janneke and the Fair Trade Coke Foundation? Where do you go from here?
Well, I just in this moment I just published articles and mainly in Dutch, and I don't know. I'm still in the process of involving other specialists who are like more than 20 years involved in this, so. I think it is so. I'm publishing articles and organize events, either about discussing the problems or to destigmatize the coca leaf, for example. And so at this moment, that's what I'm doing. And in the future, I will just do other research in Peru. Or that's at this moment my first aim. But yeah, so publishing articles and organizing events is at this moment what I'm doing.
And so people can find out about the events on your website, which is www.fairtradecoke.org. You're on Twitter as well, and I'm sure you're on all the other social media stuff. So if you're interested in learning more about sort of alternative issues, alternative, let's say, substitute crops, articles, and so on. Please start publishing in English too, because that would be great.
It's on my to-do list.
It's on your to-do list. But check out the website. You can get in touch with Janneke there on via the website. There's a contact page. It's in Dutch, lots of it, but some stuff you can find. It's not so hard. You know, actually, Dutch, when you look at it, it reads very similar. But listen, let me just say, thank you so much for taking the time in your afternoon there in Holland. I realize you're a busy person running between meetings. Thank you for sharing with us some of your thoughts. And you know, we're going towards a de-stigmification, I guess, stigmatization, actually, of destigmatization of, you know, of this trade. And it has to be out of the hands of the criminals, I think, is the underlying message. You know, it's a sacred plant, and those who use and those who are addicted have medical conditions. I think that's what we're saying at the base of it all. I know some of my listeners will be outraged by this, and others will be, somewhat relieved. But the war on drugs does not work. I don't have solutions. That's why I wanted to hear what Janneke had to say after seeing her tweets and after seeing her website. So thank you so much for your time and for sharing your opinions with us.
Thank you. And thank you very much for your time as well. It was a pleasure and an honor.
An honor. Well, you flatter me. Flattery will get you everywhere. This has been episode 244 of Columbia Calling. We'll be back next week with another interviewee to talk about something else interesting regarding Columbia or something around Columbia. Remember, we've been speaking to Janneke Niemeyer of the Foundation Fair Trade Coke. You can look that up at www.fairtradecoke.org. It's been a great pleasure. Be sure to tune in and share this around. Columbia Calling goes from strength to strength. We are still receiving more than 10,000 downloads a week for a niche podcast in English about Columbia. I think that's pretty good. So thank you again, and farewell from me. Bye-bye.
Chorro y atarraya.